Hey, Corey here. We've had an influx of new listeners, and so I just want to make sure that if you are new to the podcast, you don't just jump in and start listening to these daily episodes, which we've been doing. Please go back and listen to the first at least 8 episodes so you have an idea of what Collapse is, what it is that Corey is talking about. Also, if you've been with us for a while and you're enjoying the content, please join us on Patreon. We would love to see you there. There's a link, as always, in the description. I recognize that on the podcast, over the course of, you know, the first 160 evergreen episodes that Kellen and I did, we discussed the causes of collapse from the viewpoint of, you know, individual factors and combining factors as well. One thing we didn't touch on a lot is the reaction that people have to collapse and how that is often violent. Violence is something that has existed throughout humanity. There are times of peace, there are times of violence, and that's an evolving, or I shouldn't, you know, it's an evolving situation and a revolving door, because some places will have peace while others will simultaneously have violence. And that's no different in today's world. It's been no different over the last 20, 50, 70, or 100 years. Violence in and of itself is not a sign of collapse. That said, I am surprised. I find myself, you know, raising my eyebrows at the increasing amount of violence in both severity and in, I don't know if the word's density, just like how much violence we're seeing all at once throughout so many parts of the world. Now, yes, this topic is center in my mind today because, you know, here in the U.S., we are currently experiencing sort of this upsurge in not just violent actions, but violent rhetoric in the wake of the Charlie Kirk shooting yesterday, 2 days ago at this point. And that rhetoric is quite frightening, right? If you live in a place that has been experiencing violence for months or years or even decades at this point, then you're raising your own eyebrows at maybe some of the shock that people in the U.S. feel to the repercussions to this shooting and the violent rhetoric. And of course, the violence of the shooting itself. I won't deny that, you know, in many ways, I personally am, you know, naive to the impacts of violence for myself on a local scale. I've experienced, you know, I've witnessed violence in my life, sure. I spent time in Colombia and, you know, I saw the aftermath of murders there. I spoke with people who were directly impacted by, you know, by cartel violence, gang violence. I had my backpacks checked on buses to make sure that there were no bombs. I, you know, was instructed on how to react if FARC, the FARC, you know, were to confront me. Those types of things. So it's not that like I've never experienced it before, but watching and sort of feeling this rise so close to home, especially in the Western United States where this event took place, it's a little bit of a wake-up call to me. And today I just want to kind of highlight some of the violence that's happening around the world. And the question, of course, in all of these episodes is what violence is normal, I guess you could say, is happening just because it's a part of life, an unfortunate part of life, and what violence is happening as a direct response to collapse, right? As resources deplete, you know, as areas struggle over water, that's going to necessarily cause conflict. Same thing with food and trade. I think so much of the political tensions that we're experiencing are a reaction to the fact that society is crumbling and the things that sustain us are becoming harder and harder to obtain. And the countries that do have sort of those natural resources are becoming targets of other countries looking to grow, expand, and just survive. I hate to say that, you know, like it feels like people's minds are shifting, like there's a paradigm shift amongst people in regards to the amount of violence that is acceptable. I don't want to say that because I don't want to spread that, right? I don't want you to feel that violence is acceptable. I don't want myself to feel that violence is acceptable. It's not acceptable. That said, I see in my own country the words that people are saying. I see the reaction in the news. I see the tweets. I see the conversations I have with friends. And it's almost like there's just this passive acquiescence, this giving up to the fact that violence is here and likely here to stay. So this is not meant to be an exhaustive list, right? Or a detailed explanation of what's happening in each place all around the world. But it really is sort of shocking when you look at, you know, from a high level at what's going on. So obviously we've got the war in Russia and Ukraine, and we've got some scary spillover in that just this last week, which has already left the news cycle, at least here in the U.S., because of recent events. But I'm guessing if you are in Eastern Europe or Western Europe, you're probably still seeing this every day in the news, and it's probably a massive deal that Russia sent. They'll claim it was accidental or claim it didn't happen at all, but several dozens of drones into Polish airspace, which were shot down by Polish and NATO jets. As a result of this, Article 4 has been invoked, which means that basically NATO's got to get together and discuss, have a conference, if you will, on the situation, on what's going on what the next steps are going to have to be. What was the purpose behind Putin doing this? Was it to test? Was it to just aggravate? Not really sure at this point, but it is definitely an escalation, and there's no reason for Putin to tempt NATO that I can think of that is rational, especially given the state of his military, the number of deaths that are happening. You know, things don't look great for Russia from a long-term war perspective. Gaza and Israel, the issues happening there, the genocide of Palestinian people, and the governments of the world basically turning their backs on Palestine and not doing enough to protect them, to raise voices, to condemn Israel, and to, you know, take any meaningful action towards stopping what is happening there. Then you have some that are intense conflicts that are happening throughout the world that we don't hear about as much in the Western world. Whether this is just a media problem, whether we individually are not giving it the attention it deserves, there are parts of the world that are having serious issues. So Sudan, South Sudan, is a big one of those. The Democratic Republic of the Congo, Haiti, Cameroon, Congo, and Rwanda. There is still conflict in Yemen, in Myanmar, Afghanistan, Ethiopia, Mozambique, in the Sahel region, in Syria. All these places around the world where governments have either collapsed or are in turmoil. You might have seen recently in the news events unfolding in Nepal. There was massive protests there over corruption. They ended up shutting down social media access, pretty much all social media, to the citizens because they were calling out the corruption. They were forcing people to register with the government. And this caused young people especially to protest in mass, and the Nepalese government security forces reacted heavily, at one point just using live ammunition and firing on people, killing 20 or so young people. This increased the amount of violence from protesters, increased the amount of protesters to the point where they actually went and ended up lighting parliament buildings on fire. Family members of parliament, I believe, were burned alive. And they ended up rolling back the social media ban there. But the violence still continues and questions about what happens next. In Colombia, it seemed for a while that FARC had kind of gone away and maybe there had been some agreements. But now there's a resurgence in violence due to basically FARC, but under a different name, bombings, targeted killings. And then there are other parts of the world where political upheaval, I guess you could say, is causing unrest just amongst civilians, right? Maybe it's not full-scale conflict, but that tension is heating up and with the potential for boiling over. You've got places like France and Serbia and Indonesia and Bolivia, the UK right now. I've seen several videos coming out of the UK where there's this deepening divide between political factions. Far right and far left groups are having these build up in tensions. And I think that just individuals, I'm seeing it in my own life, right? Family members, friends, neighbors, people who have very differing views, finding it harder and harder to connect with each other on everyday aspects of their lives because those political divides are causing so much turmoil. It's scary and frustrating to think how much of this destabilization comes from, you know, online and makes it seem so much worse than it may actually be because of the use of bots, sort of the attempt to rile people up against each other. Here in the US, I'm 100% certain that a very large amount of the online conversation, whether you're on X or Blue Sky or Reddit or wherever it might be, is coming from bots, bot farms that are there simply to destabilize, to make things worse. People are saying, you know, we don't know anything about the Charlie Kirk shooter, for example. We don't know who did it. We don't have a suspect at this point. And in my mind, there's every bit as much reason to believe that it could be a demented, crazy leftist who didn't like Charlie Kirk. And it could every bit be a state entity, right? It could be whether that's our own state or a different state, just trying to cause destabilization, and it's working. If the point is to fan the flames of tension in the United States by making it look like the divide between left and right is so intense that violence is the only option, even though that is very much not the real case, it's functioning as intended. I'm just going to read through some posts on X here. These are as a reaction to the shooting by people on the right. These are from right-wing accounts who are influential in one way or another. Some of them are politicians. Some of them are celebrities. Some of them are just blue check marks that millions of people see on Twitter and, you know, follow. But this is the voices that they are putting out there. I'm not going to read their names. I'm just going to read some of the stuff they're saying. "This is war," in all caps, seen by 3 million people. Or, "The Democrat Party must be classified as a domestic terror organization and their members' leaders treated accordingly. Enough is enough. Charlie Kirk getting shot is the shot heard around the country. I'm ready for civil war. You want a fight and you're going to get it. I don't want the National Guard sent to Democrat cities anymore. I want the Air Force sent. When Democrats lose elections, they couldn't steal. They murder the people they were unable to defeat. They've declared war. There's no going back after this. There's no more words to be said. The only way this ends is the complete annihilation of the Democrat Party. Charlie Kirk being assassinated is the American Reichstag fire. It's time for a complete crackdown on the left. Every Democratic politician must be arrested and the party banned under RICO. Every libtard commentator must be shut down. Stochastic terrorism, they caused this. It's time to bring the hammer down on the left." Fox host Jesse Waters said, "They are at war with us. Whether we want to accept it or not, they are at war with us, and what are we going to do about it?" Elon Musk says, "The left is the party of murder. The left lectured us for the last decade about the dangers of violence from the right, from the assassination attempts of President Trump." I can't see the end of that tweet, but I'm sure it goes on to degrade the left for what happened. "The Democrat Party is a domestic terrorist organization whose most fanatics will not hesitate to murder their political opponents. This was not a one-off event. Charlie Kirk has been shot. Enough is enough. Democrats need to be labeled a terrorist organization." Laura Loomer says, "It's time for the Trump administration to shut down, defund, and prosecute every single leftist organization. If Charlie Kirk dies from his injuries, his life cannot be in vain. We must shut these lunatic leftists down once and for all. The left is a national security threat. Lastly, Elon Musk says, if they won't leave us in peace, then our choice is fight or die. So, sorry, I know that was a lot. This is just a very small sampling of the millions and millions of tweets that have been made in the last 24 hours in response to this shooting from the right. So there's just this repeated call for war, calling it war, whatever you want, saying that the left is the enemy, calling for the annihilation of the left. I mean, this is extermination language, right? It's dehumanizing. It's an effort to see an entire group of people. And quite frankly, that entire group of people is anyone left of MAGA, which is extremely far right, as being an enemy that needs to be exterminated. President Trump himself released a statement basically parroting this sentiment, saying that this is the fault of the left and that they will be going after anyone. And by anyone, he's not saying anyone involved in the shooting. He's saying anyone that's behind the rhetoric that he says is causing this type of violence. All of this, right? And there's not been a peep from the right, and there wasn't a peep from the right when lawmakers in Minnesota were murdered just months ago. If that topic comes up, they will simply dismiss it. They will say, oh, you're talking about the guy who worked for Tim Walz. He must have been a Democrat. He must have been doing that for Tim Walz, blah, blah, blah. No, he was not a Democrat. He was a Republican. He hated Tim Walz. The truth is that the violence and the calls for violence are not coming from the left, and at least not just coming from the left. Yes, both sides of the aisle are complicit in exacerbating tensions, but the ones in power right now, the ones calling for war, and frankly the ones that have been calling for war for decades, are the extremist far right. It is the fascist movement. All right, wherever you're at in the world, I hope you're staying safe. I hope you are doing the best you can to lower tensions in your own sphere of influence, in building your community and making peace with friends and family, and doing your best to surround yourself with people who truly love and care for you despite perhaps your opinions or political beliefs. Stay safe, enjoy your weekend, and we'll pick it up next Monday. Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.